You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Gibbs and Wilhelm in. Zagura finally back tomorrow. If you're just joining us, Desmond Bryant, more than likely done for the season already. Had surgery yesterday to repair a torn pectoral muscle sustained during a workout last week. A full recovery expected. He will miss a significant amount of time, will unlikely be able to return for the 2016 season. Now, the Browns, Hugh Jackson, releasing this statement: "We feel awful for Dez. This is a young man that worked extremely hard this offseason to prepare himself for the 2016 season. He really bought into our coaching, our team, oversell philosophy, and was intent on becoming a leader for our team. Ray and the defensive staff were expecting a really productive season from him. We all understand injuries are part of this profession. As a team, you have to find a way to overcome them. There is no doubt we will miss Dez this season, and we all wish him a speedy recovery." And Dez, I remember us replaying a press conference from him when he was meeting with the media during minicamp and talking about, just like Kruger, changed man. You saw a different person. You heard a different person. This was a guy that had bought in, was genuinely excited for this new regime and for another chance here.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's in the I believe he's in the last year of his contract here. Yep. In Cleveland. New mentality, probably excited about the way he was going to get used in this defense, allow him to make plays, most likely would get a contract offer from the Cleveland Browns at some point, maybe not for a long term, but maybe another 2-year extension to keep him here in Cleveland with good money for his age, even though he's kind of like outside our analytical wants here in Cleveland. He fits the mentality. Hugh likes him. He likes Hugh. He fits Ray Horton. Ray Horton fits him. And now you've got to wait. So it's unfortunate, and I'm going to be surprised and very in tune when players do report on what are some of the names being uttered by Ray Horton and Hugh Jackson as those individuals that have to step up in place of Dez Bryant.
Yeah, no question about that. Something to keep our eye on here. The first few days of this week, not so great news. Let's hope things get turned around, because this has been a nice, quiet offseason too this week, until this week. And we would like it to go back to that, please. Especially with vacations coming up for all of us involved on the Browns Daily Radio Show. All right, time for today's CBD replay. This is back in early May. And joining the guys in the Dog Bowl, a very svelte, a very lean Danny Shelton, a guy refocused, re-energized because of this staff, like many of the players that we've talked about, talked to. And here's Danny's interview with Nathan and Matt.
Let's talk about 55. I know that this was something very important to you. The opportunity presented itself this year. Talk about that switch when you decided you were doing it and how that all went down.
So 55, you know, obviously the great Alex Mack had it. So, I mean, I didn't want to ask him to give me the number when I was a rookie. So
there never was a discussion. There never was like, hey,
never was.
Few shekels for you here. No,
not okay. At all. I didn't want to bother the man. So just respectfully, when they decided to get rid of him, you know, I had to step up and take the number. And, you know, obviously with Junior Seau using the number, that was a big part of me taking over it in college as well. But at the same time, the personal connection, you know, with my brother, Skeevy, who had it when I was in high school. And so, you know, just decided to step up and, you know, make a change, really.
When you see that hanging in your locker now, does it mean, is it, yeah?
It's awesome, yeah. It brings back so many memories of, you know, watching Junior Seau, watching my brother play as well, and then also my senior year in college. I mean, it's just something that ignites that feeling of every time.
And soon after the number change, I think you tweeted something about, "I'll do right by all the fans who went out and bought the 71 jersey." Is that still in progress? Have you figured it out yet?
Yes.
Okay.
It's still in progress. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say anything, but, you know, I've been on my agent this past month, really, because I have all these ideas. He's just trying to make them work, trying to involve the Browns, and, you know, I'm just trying to do it for the fans.
That's right.
It's awesome. Yeah, because a lot of people, it was a popular jersey last year, and I know the 55 will be a popular one this year as well.
How has the last month been being back, you know, in this building, starting to learn some of the nuances of this defense for you?
It's been great, really. You know, the coaching staff that they brought in has been awesome to us. I mean, go in every time and watch film with some of the coaches, ask questions. I really feel comfortable with the playbook, you know, going into, I think it's like week six, maybe week five, I don't know. But I feel comfortable with the playbook. I know my assignments. I know that, you know, I can help out the rookies that come in. I can help out our other players if they need help. And we have veterans that are at the same level. And so that's why I'm excited. It's like Coach Horn, he just has this defense that isn't too complicated. And once you get it, it's easy to teach somebody else. And so I'm excited.
You're hitting on a key point, because we talked with Bill Polian, and one of the things that he said about the Rex Ryan, Mike Pettine style defense is that it is very complicated. And sometimes you don't know, your responsibilities aren't always clearly defined in each play. Is that different in this defense? Do you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing each play?
Definitely. I mean, working with Coach Nunn, you know, he does a great job with just explaining our assignments and, you know, making sure everybody's on the same point, everybody knows what their assignment is and what exactly technique they have to use as well.
And one thing that came into question, and I know that, you know, in your press conference downstairs, it was you coming off the field, running off the field, and you want to do everything you could to be here in Cleveland and to get your body and your mind both in shape to stay on the field as much as possible. And does it seem like that's happening so far in Ray Horton's defense?
I mean, it's hard to tell right now. I've definitely been doing my part as far as losing weight, staying active, staying energized, and, you know, keeping up with just the workouts and, you know, the playbook. So I'm making sure that I'm taking this opportunity and, you know, and making the most of it, really.
Are you lining up at this point in multiple spots on the front, or are you just in the middle? And talk about kind of how you see yourself being used this year.
I mean, really, I just do what they need me to do. You know, sometimes in walkthrough, Coach Nunn would throw me back at Mac Backer, and so I'll be messing around back there. But yeah, you know, realistically, I'll probably most likely be, you know, anywhere from zero to three tech to maybe even a four tech. So we'll see.
And something that, you know, Nathan and I loved about you when you were back at Washington was the activity that you played with. You know, making tackles from numbers to numbers. Not a lot of nose tackles do that in general, but your activity inside the tackles. You just mentioned you're going to line up from anywhere from zero to one to three technique. Are you going to be stunting and moving around?
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. That's what I'm excited
to get you active and penetrating as you did back at Washington so well.
Yeah, definitely. And that's part of what I had to do to prove to Coach with my offseason. You know, dropping the weight. Making sure that they're comfortable and I'm comfortable with my weight to be able to move around and do those stunts like, you know, I did in college, and to have more freedom, really.
Do you feel like you're going to be in more of an attacking rather than catching role this year?
Definitely, yeah. I can see myself doing both, but at the same time, Coach Nunn wants us to attack more and be aggressive. So.
And you talked about the weight loss, the off season. What was the conditioning program that you put yourself on to come here? And then obviously now we can get into the conditioning program that is here, but what was the challenge that you put forth for yourself that you seem to have succeeded on?
You know, honestly, I was thinking about it the whole off season. I mean, the whole during the season. You know, just thinking of something that I was interested in and I could have fun doing, because I hate doing cardio, and a lot of big guys do hate cardio. And so really I just stuck to you know, every once in a while running gassers, and then my real game changer was doing MMA. And you know, I'm a big guy who likes to stay active and be high energized, and so I was jumped into an MMA class. And
where were you doing that?
In Parma at Cal Crowell's.
Okay.
So I was over there doing some boxing, doing some Muay Thai, just looking like a you know, I was 225, man.
Do you think that's helped with your hands as well? Is that something that you've seen help when you're trying to shed blocks, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, just as far as the technique and trying to be accurate, you know, concentrating on your target and delivering quick but, you know, strong blows. And so bringing that into the Browns workouts and transitioning. I mean, we hired on Joe Kim. martial arts expert, and I've been working with him nonstop, and so just perfecting everything. I just feel great with my hands and my feet now.
You talked about the addition of Joe Kim, but you also, almost every position group has their own strength coach, and I know Evan Marcus, before we realized who he was and what he had accomplished, you know, at Virginia and Minnesota, he was talking about working with the offensive defensive linemen. He goes, big guys moving or pushing heavy stuff. Yeah. How has it been working with Evan so far and having your own strength coach for your position group?
Man, Coach Evan, he's a beast, man. I hate him, but I love the guy.
That's what it's about.
He's my weightlifting coach. I mean, you talk about him coaching all these offensive line, defensive line guys. He really, I see him as my coach. You know, I go to him for everything. He's my nutritionist, so I work with him and Adam, our head guy. And so those guys are really the key to me jumping over this wall that I had earlier in off season with my weight. And so they've been working with me constantly, texting, doing the workouts too. I mean, I feel great. You know, just working with this new weight training staff, they brought my weight down, kept my muscle up. I feel even stronger than in college, and so that's really something that I can proudly say that I'm proud to work with these.
And has the new staff kind of kept you guys as players guessing? Because they're a new staff, they come from different backgrounds. Adam Beard brought guys from all over the country here to Cleveland. But to keep you guessing, it keeps you guys into it, makes it fun, but yet while you guys are working extremely hard together.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that not a lot of teams know. I mean, a lot of players know as well. Like if you can find something that you're having fun at, it keeps you interested, it keeps you focused, then you'll be able to grow rather than doing the same workout on a daily basis and getting bored, seeing the same muscles grow. They're concentrating on different small muscles to make them grow, and we're seeing more results, really.
Danny, obviously your body was something you wanted to work on in the offseason. Was there anything from a football technique standpoint that you wanted to make a point of emphasis as you transitioned from year one to year two?
Definitely my focus on my hands. I wanted to make my hands quicker. I wanted to be able to focus on my target better too, because there's a lot of times this past season that my hands would get wide and I'd lose containment of my gap. And so just focusing that with the new D-line coach and Coach Kim as well. So I feel great.
Good. Last one for me, Danny, and we know you got to run, get on with your day, but the addition of DeMario Davis as an energized bunny, and again, a physical guy after playing in your jet scheme, and then Christian Kirksey stepping up, is that weak inside linebacker kind of penciled in as a starter. How has it been in the huddle with those two guys and directionally lining you guys up in front of them?
This has been fun. We've been dying together. I mean, these conditioning days that we had together has been tough, but to have those guys, constantly be on each other, constantly be on us guys who are tired, making it fun. It's been a way better atmosphere for us, so we can finally say that we're becoming a team, becoming a defense.
Danny, a year ago, you were about to set foot here for the first time going through your rookie mini camp. What would you say to the rookies coming in here on Thursday and getting ready to take the field on Friday?
Honestly, don't come in here thinking it's going to be easy, because this new program that we have, we're not designing it to make sure that these guys are walking in and getting everything down. It's more of we're making sure these guys are coming in and want to win and are expecting to win, and so they're gonna ingrain that into their heads right away. So they got to be ready for this cardio.
That's today's CBD replay. Nathan and Matt sitting down with Danny Shelton. And Danny's role taking on a much more important one right now with Dez Bryant essentially missing the rest of the 2016 season with that torn pec muscle. I mean, there's a chance he can come back, but I mean, let's be honest. I've never seen someone come back from a torn pec and play the same
season. It's a 3-month injury rehab. And I think
did you ever have it?
No, I did not. No. Thank goodness. Yeah. I wouldn't wish that or a torn bicep on anybody.
Yeah. Either one of those two. You see that and you're like, okay, I'll see you next year.
Yeah, especially for a guy that has to push and pull for a living. It's going to be a difficult road.
Yeah. But you like what you've seen from Danny Shelton. You like what you've heard from Danny Shelton here in the offseason. He's stayed in Cleveland, stayed around town, and we'll see. He'll be one to watch here when training camp gets going in a little over 2 weeks from now. We'll take a timeout when we come back. More of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, back here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Wilhelm, it's a big day today.
It is. Why?
Why? Because it's the Hooligans two-man scramble.
Uh-oh.
At Sweetbriar in the golf league tonight.
A lot of money at stake?
We don't talk about no. No. We credits.
Credits.
Yes. Yeah. Some bragging, food and beverage bragging tokens.
Rights. Bragging rights.
Yes, bragging rights. There's lots of swag. There's lots of things involved in this golf. Money. We don't gamble. It's illegal.
How's the weather going to be?
That is the question right now.
Is it rain or shine?
Well, last week it was.
It's based on the course. I mean, they're not going to pull you. They'll pull you off for lightning, but otherwise it's rain or shine.
And a lot of times I just ignore that weather warning when it goes off.
Because you're that far from the clubhouse.
Yeah, exactly. Get under the tree. Safety first. I'm in a golf cart. It's got rubber wheels.
Exactly. You're fine.
Just stay in.
Just don't touch your golf clubs.
Exactly. Don't touch anything metal. Now it's saying the hourly forecast, 35% chance starting at 9 o'clock. That's fine.
You know what my brother always says? 35% chance of rain means 65% chance it doesn't.
Exactly.
It's a golfer mentality.
That's like partly cloudy equals mostly sunny.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
Now we're thinking. All right, so I'm going to give you these names.
All right.
You tell me which twosome you think will work. Keith Mazey and Jason Gibbs. I'm covering up. I know my friends are listening right now, and they're going, use the nicknames. I can't use the nicknames on the air. Some of them. For some reason, I'm called Banana Hands.
Okay.
You take that for what it's worth. Jed Gissa and Cole Condon, Mike Nash and Dave DeRosa, Larry Moskovic, Christian Trimble, Rick Cavan, Benji Manning, Colin Hazen, and Garrett Fortune.
Not that
That's true. The two right now. Colin likes himself a couple alcoholic beverages.
Oh.
Like, they might not. They could they be the strongest finish. Team. But they might not finish.
So who's the favorite right now?
All right. If I'm looking, you know, I'm looking at Brett France group, and Chazzy Hands Orinoco, Brian Moran and Nick Can't Count Pollock, and Johnny Sandbagger D'Onofrio and Nick Cookie Monster Baroni. Baroni loves to go get cookies afterward on his way home.
Nice.
I don't know whether it makes him feel better. I don't know. Some bakery. He swears by it. I didn't know it was open that late. You know, Moran and Pollock are pretty solid. Again, Colin and Garrett are going to be solid team, but the alcohol will ultimately do them in.
Sure.
Rick Cavan and Benji. Benji's kind of a good player, quiet guy. He could be in trouble. Mike Nash and Dave DeRosa might win this.
You have no shot because you haven't mentioned you and your partner. No,
Keith is awesome.
Okay.
Keith is probably one of the top five players in the league,
so
which is why I'm paired up with him. I'm the one bringing him down. Keith, I'm sorry in advance. I'm for letting you down. I don't know. It's a very.
Does this play your own ball?
I think so. No. Yeah, maybe.
Scramble, shamble?
Yeah, it might be taking the best score
between
the two. I don't know how that's going. I don't know what the rules are. The rules kind of change. Jed is really good. Cole is like the human rain delay. The man can take a long time to hit the golf ball.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, he brings it to a halt. If you're playing in that group.
When I golf, I don't take a practice swing, but one on the tee. So 18 times I take a practice swing. And then obviously I'll take a practice stroke on the green per putt. But in between, it's I aim my body. I eye it, and I hit the golf ball.
Wow, you don't take a practice like on the fairway?
No.
Or see, I don't practice putting.
Because
I probably should.
I play a lot by myself in small windows. So I try to play a lot of golf in a small window, and practice swings and overanalyzing slows me down.
Yeah. I feel like there's one of...
And I overthink it. Step up to the ball and hit it.
I can't tell you how many wasted shots I've done practicing, taking a practice.
Oh, where you hit it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially around the greens. When you clip the grass perfectly and you just want to do that the next time, and then you shakeopotamus comes out.
Yeah.
Been there.
Exactly. I'm just saying, I think there's five teams that could realistically win this team.
Wow.
This is like the halfway point of our golf league year. Even though for me, I'm going to be done in like 3 weeks the way it's looking because of
– training camp?
Yeah, exactly. This nighttime practice thing is killing my golf league.
And now is everyone in attendance tonight? I know that – you know, a guy misses here, misses there for a multitude of reasons.
The Filipino phenomenon, Mike Orinoco, won't be there. But other than that, it's a pretty full we have a full group today.
It's awesome.
It is. It's I recommend it to anybody that's a golfer. Get in a golf league. Get your buddies together. We need you in there. You should come out and golf with us.
I should. If
are you around in the next like 2 weeks before training camp?
Yeah, I think so.
We should get you out there.
That'd be great.
Come golf with us.
I'd love to play.
Yeah. We tee off around 5:30 today.
Perfect.
Yeah. Quick nine holes. There's not really anything quick if you get behind Cole or Chazzy Hands. But, yeah, I'm calling them out. But it'll be interesting. The Hooligans outing is later on today. Franchise tag or long-term deal, deadline predictions. Von Miller, what happens with him? What do you think?
Long-term deal.
Do you think it gets done before
Friday?
Yeah,
because I just think he's going to stick to his guns on not playing under the franchise tag, and ultimately he'll start to get fined for not showing up, and his deal and the difference of the amount of money he's asking for, what he'll be fined for is peanuts compared to the nine more million he wants.
It's amazing how far apart they are. It's
9 million apart,
yeah.
Is a lot.
That's
in
a
the
lot
NFL.
Of money.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if they get anything done. I could see him holding out. I mean, he's won his Super Bowl. This is his chance at his big payday. You know, it's not going to get – I don't know if it's going to get any better than what it's going to be right now for him.
Yeah, but I just think in some cases what you have to really leverage, and I think he's in a great marketplace out there in Denver coming off of the Super Bowl that has, you know, accepted him and some of his falters – you know, throughout this point in his career, that anyone will accept him with open arms because of the player that he is. But if he legitimately wants to try to win more Super Bowls, staying put, I think in his mind, is probably best, because a middle of the road football team that might be outside looking in on the Super Bowl might pay him the amount that he wants, and they might stay. He might not be the difference maker because that team probably doesn't have a top 8 quarterback, so they're essentially almost limited unless something crazy happens from even contending for a Super Bowl.
What about Alshon Jeffrey from the Bears? Long-term,
I think he'll play in a franchise tag.
You think so?
I do. I just think
he's done after
this
year.
Cutler is a huge, you know, he is up in the air.
And blue pill or red pill day.
Correct, exactly. What kind of season are you going to have? And Alshon Jeffrey on a franchise tag could go, you know, 105 receptions for 1,700 yards, or he could have a 60 reception year for 980 yards. Now, both are good, but not for the, what, $15 million he's going to get on that franchise tag, or is probably asking for on a yearly basis.
His franchise tag, Alshon Jeffrey, would be $14.599 million.
That was close.
Just a notch below A.J. Green's $15 million a year average. I mean, and Chicago wanted to pay Jeffrey about the same as Baldwin's contract, Doug Baldwin, who signed a lucrative deal last month, about $11.5 million. So, I mean, they're relatively close.
And I'll be honest, I like a six-year older Brandon Marshall than I do a 26-year-old Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Hate to say it, you know. But
I think you get more productivity.
Both in a Chicago uniform and a New York Jets uniform. I think he's a better player.
Yeah, I agree. What about Kirk Cousins?
I think Kirk Cousins is going to play on a franchise tag. And if I were Dan Snyder and Jay Gruden, I'd want to keep Kirk Cousins on a franchise tag because make him do it again. And
yep.
Then you open up your pocketbook and go, you played like a guy in a top 10 quarterback 2 years in a row. Prove to me it's not a fluke, and I'll pay you, and I'll open up my checkbook.
Yeah. I mean, I look at him the same way I look at Tannehill. It's like, I can't give you $120 million.
Are you a franchise quarterback? I'm comfortable with you, but are you my franchise?
Yeah.
Because I think that if you go get if Jimmy Garoppolo were playing with the Redskins, Jimmy Garoppolo, based around what I know about him and his and what who he's learned from in the NFL, I think a Jimmy Garoppolo can do what Kirk Cousins can do in Washington. And is Jimmy Garoppolo a franchise quarterback who's a guy that deserves $100 million? Probably not.
No.
He's done nothing to do so. Prove it to me again, and I'll open up my book.
All right, timeout for us. Bottom of the hour. Less than 30 minutes to go here on a Wednesday Cleveland Browns Daily. Around the League with Dave DiNatale is next on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The band will be back tomorrow. Zagura and Wilhelm for one day. And then 2 weeks from then will be the next time everybody's all back together. And it'll be for real for the next 5 months. As we take you through the 2016 campaign. Gibbs and Wilhelm in. Time to bring in Dave DiNatale now for a little Around the League.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Let's do it. All right, with
number one.
All right, gentlemen, as we start out Around the League today, if you could have any former NFL player be a volunteer instructor for the Browns, because we know obviously Chad Johnson's been mentioning that on social media. He'll be around, and Ernest Biner as well. But if you could have any former NFL player be a volunteer for the Browns, who would you want that player to be?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm going to strike a chord with many Browns fans right now, and I would think, and I'll answer on behalf of them, and I believe that their answer would be Bernie Kosar to help mentor any quarterback wearing the orange and brown.
I mean, it, especially with young quarterbacks, it really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Here's my rationale. It's like, I went, okay, Ocho Cinco could possibly be wide receivers. We had a Wilbert Montgomery who was obviously played a long time in the NFL and coached in the NFL, mentor the running backs last year. Do we need a tight end mentor? Maybe not. You got Joe Thomas, who kind of mentors all the guys. Okay, that scraps the offense. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go over to the defense. You know, and so who else could essentially, you know, play a role that has a connection to the team as well?
Right.
But Bernie, just with our troubles at quarterback,
you could do a lot. I mean, that's the thing. You could do a lot worse than having Bernie Kosar help you analyze film.
I was going to say, give me Peyton Manning. Just hung it up so he's young enough that he can relate to the players.
Sure, and the
players aren't
the
like, who's this old guy trying to tell me how to play the game of football?
He'd have the respect.
Yeah, I would go Peyton Manning in that situation. I don't know what kind of instructor he'd be because he's never had to be really an instructor. He's always been the man. So who knows?
I'm going back to that. I'm thinking about that defense, though, Matt. If I wanted somebody to mentor my front seven, to rush the quarterback, to get pressure, to work on technique, who comes to your mind?
I was going to say a couple that come to my mind would be Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Would come to my mind. I would say Michael Strahan might be another guy that comes to my mind. Reggie White would be the guy that comes to my mind. But I know that we're in a 3-4 and they're defensive ends. But I just think guys that played the game at a physical level different from everyone else. And that's what I think those three guys did.
All right. Meanwhile,
number two.
All right, so looks like Tom Brady has pretty much exhausted all of his legal options to get himself out of Deflategate. So looking at the schedule, New England's got to play 4 games without Brady conceivably. At Arizona versus Miami. Home to Houston on Thursday night, and also home Buffalo. So they'll have 3 home games. How many games do they win? I know. How many games do they win, assuming Brady's not playing?
I am going to go with 2. I believe that they're going to be 2-2 coming to Cleveland, and their two wins will be of the two AFC East opponents that they play. I think home against Houston, they're going to be a different football team. They're going to be a good defense. They've got Brock Osweiler. They've got weapons now, both at running back with Lamar Miller as well as Hopkins. And who else did they add opposite Hopkins? I'm drawing a blank right now, but they're going to have playmakers. And then I think that Arizona and Bruce Arians, they're going to be ready to play. They're kind of like a mix of a veteran-laden team.
It's at Arizona.
Yeah, they're going to be a hungry team.
They're going to be a hungry team after last year. I think Bruce will have them ready, and I think they know their window with Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald is probably this year. So it's win it all or, you know, kind of rebuild.
I think they go 3-1. I think it must be nice to have a penalty like that. And, oh, by the way, three of your first four are at home.
It's crazy.
I wish the Browns could actually get three out of four at home to start off a season. It'd be nice rather than the last three of four in December when it's 20 below out and there's 18 inches of snow. I would really appreciate that. I'd love to go to Miami when it's not hurricane season still. Who knows what will happen come September with regards to that. I think they take one on the chin to Arizona, but, I mean, they still own the East. They're still better than Miami. They're still better than Buffalo. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying Houston right now. Brock Osweiler, I'm a true – anybody who listens knows I'm a true show-me guy. That guy's got to actually show
me
he can play.
But that defense is good. And Garoppolo's going to be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, 3-1. Next.
Tell you what, I think you take 3-1. Bill Belichick certainly would.
Oh, if you're 3-1. By the way, if this really goes down and Tom Brady misses four games, why do I have a feeling Jim Nance and Phil Sims are in Cleveland for week five for the return?
I couldn't agree more.
That becomes a marquee game on the CBS schedule.
Well, and especially if you talk about the optimism that we have looking at our schedule, while three of the first four are on the road, if we can wholeheartedly walk into those first four games and be 50-50.
If maybe you're 2-2 and they're 2-2 and Tom Brady comes back.
Right. Or even if – I don't even say this. We're 1-3, but one or two of those losses we took
could've
the Redskins or, you know, the Ravens to the ropes and could have gone either way. But we're being thought of differently going into that football game. And the Patriots maybe snuck out one to be 3-1, you know, but really should be 2-2 or are 2-2. You know, there's a lot on the line.
Put it this way, the E team will not be announcing the game.
No,
it announcers
will not.
You've never heard of. Okay.
This is true.
Meantime.
Number three.
Okay, so the NFL Network had their top 100 players in the league for 2016. Their top rated wide receiver was Antonio Brown. He came in fourth overall. So with that, after Antonio Brown, who is the second best wide receiver in the NFL?
I think this is a very easy question, and I'm sure that the NFL's top 100 was probably indicative of this, but Julio Jones in Atlanta.
I don't get that.
I think it's because I don't think you're a Matt Ryan fan, Chase.
I just don't. I don't know. I should be. The guy had 1,800 yards receiving. I really should be a bigger fan. I don't think there's a wow factor there. Like, you're doing all that, and your team's still losing.
Yeah.
I don't know. True. Okay. You know, and I'm not saying Odell Beckham.
No. He's not even in the conversation for me.
Is Dez Bryant a top five?
Healthy, yes. Oh, yeah. Healthy Dez, I would say yes.
I refuse to give Tony Romo any credit. I think it's all Dez.
Well, Nathan's not here. You can
correct.
You can give him the credit.
He
doesn't listen to the
podcast. I would say Dez. I would also say DeAndre Hopkins. When you think about who was throwing the football to DeAndre Hopkins last year, I mean, Matt Ryan. If Matt Ryan was throwing to DeAndre Hopkins,
he'd be an 1,800-yard guy.
Yeah. I'm going to say DeAndre Hopkins, number two behind Antonio Brown.
Really?
Yep. I'm not saying Julio Jones is the top five. Julio Jones is not the second best wide receiver in the National Football.
Maybe you're just bitter because the Browns could have had him and didn't.
Yeah, well, that's another woulda, coulda, shoulda.
True that. Finally, here as we go around the league.
Number four.
you know, Gibbs, when you and I were hosting the show last week, we were going to get into this. We never did. Urban Meyer's kind of talked about it. Now Nick Saban from Alabama's picked this up as well. Because of players who come out for the draft and then end up not early and don't get drafted, an underclassman combine, guys, good idea or bad idea?
See, I think it is actually, in today's day and age, as the game is changing, you know, within the lines, it needs to also change outside the lines. And I think it actually would be a good idea, because guys petition for, you know, their draft grade prior to their senior season or even as underclassmen on potentially where they would be drafted. And I think that what I take from the combine and why guys attend and so many general managers love the guys that do everything, it is the one opportunity to perform in front of all 32 teams, all 32 general managers, every head coach. And I just think a shrunken down version of the combine to allow your medicals to be checked out and for them to see you, you know, perform a drill that everyone else will do instead of your own comfortable, you know, indoor facility in Columbus and the Woody Hayes with the air conditioning at a certain temperature,
yep,
with a fast track, a slow track, a wind aided 40, you know, a different size cone, who knows? You know, different, everybody doing the same thing at one time, I think is a very good thing.
I think it can only help.
Yes.
If it educates a guy to the point where he goes, I know my family wants me to come out early, I know everybody around me wants me to come out, these people are telling me that at best I'm a fourth or fifth round pick.
Right.
I gotta wait.
Correct.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to go back. I mean, I just think the more info these guys can get, I just wonder if there's something like the NBA where you have X number of days from the day you declare to the day to pull your name back.
Right. And the hard part is, though, is a lot of the reason, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth, is a lot of the reason those borderline guys take their shot on themselves in the NFL draft is they don't want to go back to school.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
That's the reason why.
It goes back to, should there be an NFL developmental league?
Correct. It just goes back to, I mean, and Jalen Marshall, I think, is a great example. You know, left Ohio State, could have almost been our feature wide receiver had he come back in a top 10 program that could potentially win the Big Ten and compete for another national championship.
Yeah.
It's not that he doesn't love Columbus. It's not that he's anything against Urban Meyer. It's that I have to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning every day
and
take a bus in the snow and go sit in class for 4 hours and then go to practice and start something that I think is fun.
When other of my teammates are going to the NFL. When Braxton Miller's going to the NFL.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, something definitely we'll keep an eye on, as it seems to have legs and the NFL is willing to listen to some of these big-time college coaches like Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. Dave DiNatale, thank you very
much.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, one final break. When we come back, we'll wrap up a Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. All right, back here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, wrapping up a Wednesday edition. Special thanks to Ken LaVica from ESPN 106.3 down in West Palm. Covers the Dolphins for their opponent preview. Our CBD replay today was Danny Shelton. Thanks to Dave DiNatale for around the league and doing a fantastic job back in studio. Tomorrow, I will be where Dave DiNatale is, and Nathan Zagura will be back in this chair. Wilhelm, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday,
my
friends.
I will. Thank you, man. You too.
Yeah. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Jason Gibbs. The Golden Boys with Aaron Goldhammer and Emmett Golden are next.
Golf well, Gibbs.
Yeah. The pressure's on. I'm wearing red today. The Tiger Red will be out later on today.
Oh, Intimidator.
Yeah. By Intimidator, if you mean going in the water to the left on the first hole. Yes. We'll see you on the tee box. For Matt, I'm Jason. And this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.